This summer we are doing a series called Naked Spirituality. And today's word is please. Please is that thing that you say when you don't have any other words. That thing that is on your heart when you read stories of tragedy and loss and you don't know what to do. And you just ask God, please. And in this morning's scripture, we hear about four people. We don't know anything about them. Who picked up someone else. They took on someone else's burden. And they made it their own. And they went outside the rules. They lifted this man on top of the roof. And they dug a hole in the roof and lowered him down. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, person who is paralyzed, it is your faith that has made you well. It is because of the faith of his friends, or these four people, that he was healed. And that was the sermon I was going to preach this Sunday. A little bit longer, but basically. And then I met with that no good sermon discussion group. Sermon discussion group meets on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. And every time I meet with them, they change what I think I was going to preach. And so I wanted to think about another scripture this morning. And I lost my Bible, so I only have it on my... I can't remember the code to get into my computer, so okay. All right, here we go. So this is Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, who were called uncircumcised by Jews who are physically circumcised. At that time you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenants of God's promise. In this world you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group with his body. He broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people. And you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. The Lord, please bless this reading from Scripture. So that was Wednesday that I started to sit down and write a sermon. Let us pray. Dear God, please. Please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I sat down to write a sermon about who do you pray for? Who do you open your hearts to? Who do you think about when you say, please, God? Who is that you ask mercy upon? Whose burdens do you carry? Who do you think about when you pray? I was ready to talk about my time at General Assembly. For the Presbyterian General Assembly, which is our biennial meeting where all the business gets done. It's if you go, I encourage everyone to go just as an observer at some point, because sometimes it's good to see how the sausage gets made. And I was ready to talk about how the people that come in, they come in from all sides of issues. Any issue, there are people on multiple, a spectrum of sides, and all of them come with a spirit of confrontation. I experienced them as combative, as ready to fight, as ready to build walls around their group, preparing ammunition to attack the other side. I was ready to talk about my frustration with the meanness of the world. Flat out meanness of the rhetoric that I hear from parents and from politicians, from church leaders, from the media. I was ready for that. And then I woke up on Friday morning. I woke up to the news that 12 people were killed and 58 were injured in Aurora, Colorado. I used to live about 5 miles from that theater. All these people were killed because they were excited to see a movie. And they just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. I want to try to make sense of this. I want to be able to explain it. I'm a big brother. I'm a fixer. I want to be able to fix it, but I can't. I can't fix the fact that Jessica Guai, who narrowly escaped a shooting in Toronto in a shopping mall on June the 2nd, was killed in a movie theater this week. I'm powerless. I'm helpless. I'm left only to pray, please, God, have mercy. Have mercy on the families of those 12 who died by the hands of one man. Have mercy on the individuals and the families of those who were wounded. The count is now 71. Have mercy on James Holmes, the 24-year-old suspected perpetrator of this tragedy. Have mercy on those around the world for whom this kind of violence is a daily occurrence. I sat at my computer and I just got angrier and angrier because I have no control. I kept thinking, please, God, this cannot be happening again. I have a friend who's in a middle school conference in Montreat, North Carolina this week, and they were talking about this tragedy. And he was amazed at the questions the kids weren't asking, because they have never known a world where this kind of thing doesn't happen. They grew up in a post-Columbine world, a post-Oklahoma City, September 11th world, where stuff like this happens. And here I am, trying to figure out when it's going to stop. I think if only there were stricter gun laws, this type of thing wouldn't happen. If only the shooter would have talked to someone. If only. But all of these are, they come up short, and they're short-sighted. They are band-aids on a wound that only God can heal. A wound that God has healed. Yet we continue to scratch and to pick to reopen that wound. Writer and theologian Paul Rauschenbusch tells us a faithful response to this kind of tragedy is, if we are gentle, and if we are kind, and if we are wise, we pause there. We do not answer too quickly. We stay with the pain and with the tears and the terror. And in response, offer compassion and prayers, thoughts, And we demonstrate a willingness to be supportive and loving in any way that we can. The faithful response is to hold vigil. The reason why it is so important to stay silent and be still in the immediate aftermath of tragedy is that if we respond or answer too soon, we do not honor the victims who have died and those who continue to suffer. Instead, our reactions serve the idols of our own agendas and ideas. Our reactions become about us and our egos. My reaction becomes about me and what I think. And they only serve to distract from the real work of compassion. With that in mind, I cautiously continue to try and make sense of the scripture and the world today. In the Ephesians passage today, it says, "With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divides us." Yet every single day, I read, I hear, I see finger pointing, I see division, I see barriers of hatred being built and rebuilt. I'm terrified. I'm terrified as a father, as one who is called to shepherd young people. I'm terrified for this world. While we were in D.C., we asked students to what their dreams were. We asked them to dream as big as they wanted. What, if anything in the world, what would be your dream? And some said, "I'd like to be an actor," or "I'd like to be a professional athlete." But what kept coming up over and over again was, "I want the world to be nicer." I want the world to be nicer. I think this is indicative of what's wrong. What leads to suicide bombs? What leads people to walking into public places and opening fire? Now, I'm not naive enough to think that the world is going to be nice. It's a mean world. People get chewed up and spit out every day. But I'm remembered that we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to look like idiots when we say love is the answer. When we say peace is here. When we say the peace of Christ be with you, we are saying it is good. Regardless of the society around us, we are to reflect. We are not to be naive, wise as serpents and gentle as doves, I think it goes. But what I've noticed, even in the church, is the rhetoric, the vitriol, the way that we act towards one another is different. Robert C. Byrd, who is a hero of mine, he was a senator from West Virginia, and he had the longest tenure in Senate ever. He also, in his later years, would carry around a copy of the Constitution in his breast pocket of his jacket, and he would shake it at people, which I always thought was really good. But Robert C. Byrd would talk about when he started in the Senate, he would have knockdown, drag out battles on the floor of the Senate. And then they would leave the chamber and go have dinner with the person who he was just arguing with. And they knew each other's kids and they vacationed together. But now if John Boehner plays golf with Barack Obama, it's a scandal. If people from opposite sides of the aisle fraternize with one another, it's seen as some sort of betrayal. if Christians work with Muslims, they better be converting them or they're falling down in their job. We can't just be with people anymore, regardless of whether we agree completely with them or not. And the truth is that I want to be able to protect my kids from fear, from angry people, from dirty looks. I want to protect them from everything. I want to protect my family from pain and from hurt and from failure and from tripping over themselves. And just because definitions I think are really important, you are my family. I think about when I hear stories of our youth, or when they share their stories with us, and my heart breaks because I want to be able to fix it for them, but I can't. All I can do is sit there with them and carry them. I can't be there all the time. I can't be in a movie theater to stand in front of a bullet to protect a 6-year-old. I can't be there. Blogger Rebecca Kuzi says, real evil interjected itself in that theater. Batman would know how to respond. And I'm not talking about cool weapons or fighting skills. I'm talking about recognizing evil and acknowledging that it needs to be stopped, and being willing to put yourselves on the line to stop it. It's what our police and our firefighters and our military and our teachers and our doctors do every single day. I know I can't always stop it, and I'm only left to pray. Pray for my kids, pray for your kids, pray for those with whom I agree, and pray for those with whom I disagree. We've forgotten how to hold each other's burdens. We have forgotten to pick up those around us who are paralyzed from fear, from grief, from whatever it is. We have forgotten how to lift them when they can't lift themselves. I mean, don't get me wrong. We are excellent at helping those people that we agree with, with those people that we know. We are amazing at writing checks and sending them to foreign countries or to areas in time of tragedy. But I'm not sure we're willing to help those on the other side of the aisle. Sure, we pray with them, but if you're like me, you pray, I hope that they come to their senses and be more like me. We've forgotten that we can disagree with civility. We can have differing opinions. I'm looking around the room and seeing people that I disagree with, and we have amazing relationships. We have put up so many barriers of hatred and apathy and contempt and ignorance that we have a hard time liking ourselves sometimes. We live in different places, we wear different clothes, we have different beliefs. But as it just keeps coming up over and over again, there is no them. There is only us. There is no them. There is only us. And at the risk of speaking to my high school brothers and sisters over here, to quote High School Musical, we're all in this together. A few years ago, there was a young man named Matt. In 2003, there's a young man named Matt. And he and his buddy were in Vietnam. And his buddy said, "Hey, Matt, do that stupid dance that you do, and I'll film it." Matt started doing his stupid dance. And this video went viral, and they shot this him doing this dance in front of a whole bunch of stuff. And he's had several iterations of this, and his latest video was released in about a month ago, and right now it has 3.3 million views. And I think that it encapsulates exactly what the scriptures are saying to us. There is no barrier. Borders and ideas and politics and religion and beliefs are manufactured by us. Christ has torn down the barrier of hatred between us. And I think Matt puts it best.
Thank you.
And I cry because it shows us that if we're willing to let go of our nonsense, we can carry each other's burdens. We can hold each other. Friends, we must remember that we are all children of God. We are all more alike than we are different. And we all deserve to be given and to receive respect. We have been called by God to lift up each other's burdens. Even when we don't want to, even when it's inconvenient. We must remember that without someone who is willing to carry us, we will always be paralyzed. Be that someone for those who are paralyzed around you. And allow that someone to lower you through the roof so that you may pick up your mat and walk out the front door. May it be so.